How many know there's victory in Jesus? Amen. Amen. Victory. Amen. Thank God. Can we just give this choir a hand? Amen. Clap of praise. Now we can do a little bit better than that. How about let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen. Thank God that from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name alone is worthy to be praised. Amen. Y'all already know. See who can guess what book I'm coming out of. All right. That's it. That's it, Brother Willie. Amen. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Thank God for everybody that is here. Thank God for our mothers. Amen. Thank God for Deacon Wright, our ministers, our preachers. We thank God for you. And I thank God for my wife. Amen. Amen. Who puts up with me and my family. Y'all know, as I said, me and my family. They said somebody was playing bingo last night. Amen. But we thank God. We thank God for Jesus. Amen. And I thank God for, I was with Joshua all day yesterday. Amen. At a wrestling tournament. And guess what, y'all? He went all the way to the finals and took second place in the tournament. Amen. And not just my son, but all the children that are here, even the girls that are back and those in the place, all of our children, we thank God for our youth. Amen. That's right. That's right. And y'all know Lauren be online with them, teaching them on Monday mornings, and sometimes Monday evenings. And sometimes I overhear them what they're talking about, and I just break into class for like a minute, show my face. And they say, he can't work it. He can't work the phone thing. But I thank God. I thank God for them and all of those that are sick and bereaved and going through. We want to be praying for them. Amen. We have the nursing home even after this service. Amen. We'll be going to the nursing home immediately following this. We're back in it. It's going to be normally on second Sundays. That's when it's going to be every month. Thank God for Minister Tober and all those that work with him on the nursing home ministry. We are back in, and that's something to shout about. Amen. Bible talks about when God opens up a door. Genesis chapter 22 says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, who thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee thereof. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and the two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went up, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went up together. And they came to the place which God had told them of Abraham, and built the altar there. and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac and his son, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar of the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not your hand on the lad, neither do anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram that was caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, that is to say, this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, By myself have I sworn unto the Lord, because thou hast done these things. That means he swore by himself. Amen. He didn't swear to another person, but by himself, because of the obedience of Abraham, hast thou not withheld thy son, thine only son. And that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed, as far as the stars is from heaven, and the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations in the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And Abraham returned his young men, and they rose up and went together in Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. And if we could give it a title, I'm talking about he obeyed God. Amen. And we look at this word Jehovah Jireh, meaning that the Lord will provide the sacrifice. But this verse 18, this verse right here, and in thy seed all the nations and the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed. That's the highest commandment. Because that's the highest thing, obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men. Amen. And we know obedience is what? Better than sacrifice. And we see the obedience, his obedience was the highest thing. Amen. And it was him obeying God's voice where the sacrifice was laying in his heart. Amen. The power of obedient love. The power of obedient love. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you to know that, God, you are alone, are worthy of the glory, of all the honor and the praise. God, we thank you for your love, this gift of love. And we get a glimpse and see the foreshadowing of what you went through and what you felt to give up your only begotten son for us who didn't deserve it. But God, we thank you for your great love to know that for by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, but it's the perfect gift. It's the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, that died on that cross for us. God, we love you and we bless you. Oh God, just have your way in this place. Oh God, we come against anything that's an attack on the raid against the knowledge of who you are. Even handle me, oh God. We can't handle this word, but may this word handle us through your spirit, because we know it's not by our power, it's not by our might, but it's by your spirit. Speak in this place. Deal with hearts. These that are your listeners, oh God, crucify my very flesh. Even those that are listening online, God, that are heeding this word, help us to hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. That, God, even this message, in this day, in this place, we won't leave here the same way we came in. But let this word take examination, free course, have free course in us. That if we got to say amen, say amen. If we got to say hallelujah, say hallelujah. If we got to say ouch, say ouch. But let the word just have its way in us. God, we love you. For us in Jesus' name, for sake we pray. Amen. 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 So we just thank God, amen, for this passage. Thank God for praying through the Genesis. And, you know, when we look at this text here, many times we can get caught up in the story. We can get caught up in the facts and the actuality and all these things and miss what was behind this passage. Amen. And we can miss the heart of what God is saying to us or the message that the Lord wants to convey. Amen. And we can't miss this love. We can't miss this love. The love, we see the love that Abraham had for his son, Isaac. And we see the love that Isaac had for his father. Because Isaac was no baby. And sometimes we, in our minds, we think he was a baby. He couldn't be baby to carry his own wood. Amen. The same way Jesus Christ carried his cross. And when he said, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham to answer the son and say, God will provide the sacrifice, knowing good and well that his son was the sacrifice. And this was not a trick, but it was an obedient faith that Abraham had to obey God and to obey his voice. Amen. So we can't miss the love, which is really the overriding theme of this chapter. That this is the second greatest love story in the Bible, as it foreshadowed and paralleled the greatest love reality that ever happened on that cross. And I'm going to tell you all something right now. When we talk about the cross, this is a foreshadowing of the cross. It's a parallel of the cross and the love that God had for us to send his only begotten son. And you know what? And I'm just going to say this, that we talk about preaching the cross and how the Bible says that the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But to us who are saved, it is the power. It's the power of God. And I don't know about for other ministers and teachers and preachers, but in order for me even to deal with the cross, you have to be broken. I've got to be broken to the cross. Amen. A wise man, wise preacher once said, you can have a sermon, right? You can have the notes, but no message from God. And in this time and in this land and in this age, we need to hear from the Lord. And guess what, y'all? God is speaking expressly. He's speaking to the burdened down and to the those that are bound and to those that are weary and going through. He's speaking loud and clear. And he says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I thank God that we can't do anything in our own power and in our own strength, especially in the church, without knowing that we've been engrafted and we've been broken to this love of Jesus Christ, which has to be the centrifuge behind everything we do. And I thank God for Paul, who Paul was just overwhelmed by this love. And you think about people, millions of people, people that we work with, people that we live around, right? And here's a man with a family who works hard all his life. Good education, maybe. Good family. Children, daughters, they're all doing well, right? And this man can look back over his life and see all the things that he's done. Maybe go to the church. See, maybe he's a CME member, but never really profess. Y'all know CME members, right? Christmas, Mother's Day, Easter, one of them type of saints. But really has never professed to know Jesus Christ. And here this man could be in his 80s, 90s. And the doctor says, you have 2 months to live. And at that time, that begs the question. There's something that begs the question in man that there's more to life. There's more to life than that which meets the eye. There's more to life than me just working hard, trying to living for the city, just enough living for the city. There's more to life than just all of my accolades and sending my kids through college. There's more to life than even me and my wife in our marriage. There's more to life than even my title as a preacher or a pastor, you as a deacon, missionary. Listen, there's so much more to life. And guess what? It's how we were created. We were created for this feeling. We were created for this intimacy. We were created for this awesome relationship with the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. To fill the burden, to fill the cup, to fill the bucket that every single one of us have in this place. Amen. And I thank God. Amen. We see it here. And guess what? This word love, I don't think it's mentioned in chapter 22. Amen. I don't even see this word love mentioned. We got Valentine's Day coming up and you want to buy your boo something. And I hope that boo means your wife, right? Right? Amen. 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 I know. But guess what, y'all? The greatest love that there is, the greatest love that we can find, is the love that God would send his only begotten son to die in my place and on that cross. And I'm telling y'all, listen, in Genesis, out of all books, never before has the Lord broke my heart to what's going on in this Genesis, in these first 22 chapters. Never before has God broken my heart and opened my mind to what this love, to see the intention of the love of God from the very first chapter in Genesis, where the Bible says, and God created the heavens. God created the heavens and the earth. And then later on, in the next verse, we see the Holy Ghost and how the Holy Spirit brooded upon the face of the waters. And he says, let us make man. We see God the Father. We see God the Son. And we see God the Holy Spirit. And we see the relationship of all three. And I thank God for Minister Tober, who said it takes all three to bring us into salvation. It took all three. It took God sending the Son. It took the Son dying for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it takes the Holy Ghost that lives in us to seal us, to bring us in to this awesome, intimate love affair with Jesus Christ. And I thank God, amen. And you ever get something new, and my wife, she gets on me because sometimes I'll get a new sweater or new vest or something new or new shirt, right? And I wear it a couple times before I wash it. Amen. To get the newness out of it. Y'all know how something smells new and you wearing it, right? And then my wife will say, she'd be like, boy, you don't wear that thing like 4 times already. Right? And then you just wear it. You ever get something, you wear it out. Amen. And then usually it fades in value. You know, but one thing we can never wear out is this word of God. Amen. The Bible says the mercies of God are renewed where? A brand new every single morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And over again, I'm reading Genesis and I'm talking to people and I'm like, I never saw that in there before. We've read that 100 times, but I've never saw that in there. And y'all know what it is? It's the Word of God. It's the dimensions of His Word. It's the depths of His Word. It's the vastness of His Word. It's His living Word that lives, y'all. And that's why we get up 6 o'clock in the morning to pray and go through this. And I want to announce right now that in March, we will, at some point, we will have a breakfast. Amen. And there will be a test given on Genesis. The test will be given in love. Amen. It might be just for yourself. But we just thank God for the fellowship of it. Amen. And guess what? From the first book of the Bible, you see God's intention in love. You see God's creating man. You see God walking through the cool of the day in Genesis. You see Him, the fellowship that He wanted with Adam and that He had with Adam and Eve. Amen. You see the skins even after they sinned and the sacrifice that was pointing to the death of Jesus Christ. And how that He proclaimed to Satan that you shall bruise his head. Amen. Or he shall bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. We see the preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. You see His intention, His bullseye of love for us. And no greater love than this. No greater love than this. That a man would have to lay down his life for a friend. Amen. And just like that man I talked about, y'all, we're all created void, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We're all born with an absence. Amen. Don't get me wrong. Thank God for parents. Thank God for fathers and mothers that raise their children up, train them up, and love them, and do the best that we can. But we're all meant to be intimate with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, as a deer panteth after the water brook, so does my what? Soul pant after you. Amen. We're all made with this longing in mind. And so when God says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, He didn't say that about the animals. He didn't say that about dogs and cats. And one lady told me the other day, she said, I like animals more than I do like people. Amen. That's what she told me. But guess what? Animals aren't created like man. The Bible says we're created in His image because God wanted a relationship with us to overwhelm us and to feed us and to fill us. And I thank God, y'all. Listen, when the Bible goes on to say in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. For thou what? Rod and thy staff are with me. They comfort me. Amen. That prepares a table before me in my what? Cup runneth over. Then He says, surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. And listen, we all have a cup. We all have this innate longing and fulfillment meant for Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul can say, my prayer for you is to know this love. And how you know it? You know it through the Word of God. To know the length, the breadth, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ with what? Passage where? All knowledge, that you may be filled. Somebody say, I'm filled. That you may be filled with this love. Amen. And it's almost like, right, where we're not filled with this love of God. and we're not filled, and we're not in the Word, there are things that we try to fill this soul with. There are things that we try to fill this cup with. And the devil is deceiving. And he can deceive us to think and have us chase this fulfillment and this belonging. Like we're going to one day satisfy it with the things that are in the world. Jesus said, God said, I satisfy the longing soul. And I fill the heart with goodness. People have been through things, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. People have gone through troubles in the past. People have gone through things in their homes. And thank God for Deacon Wright talking about what we've gone through as a people, as a black people. Amen. We've gone through some things. Amen. I remember I watched the Mississippi burning. And man, that movie messed me up. Amen. It messed me up. Me and my dad, boy, he was like, boy, you all right? But guess what? Christ has come to fulfill us. That regardless of the plight, I'm telling you, you can't really know black history until you know Jesus. You've got to see black history through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Guess what? I wouldn't trade who I am for all the tea in China. I'm glad to be the black man that I am. Glad to be the black husband that I am and the black father that I am. But don't get it twisted. It's because of Jesus Christ that I can embrace who I am in him, that I can know that I know that I know that he's my keeper. He's my healer. He's my sustainer. Amen. So whether you're black, white, red, yellow, Chinese, Mexican, it don't matter. We all have a place in Jesus Christ. We all have a place. Amen. But when there's a void in us, and there's a void, we try to do it ourselves, and we can't do it. Listen, and that's why, y'all, listen, before I give the points, there are three things. When we see this love of Abraham, and I'm talking about, man, his faith, when we see his dedication and his obedience to God. We see it even going back to chapter 12. Amen. And how Abraham, right? When God told him to get thee out of his father's house, he was obedient and he listened to the Lord and he heeded to the Lord. And over again in chapter 12, we see how over and over again, Abraham would build an altar. Chapter 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. There he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Then he did it again in verse 2, Bethel, and he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west. And high on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord. And he called upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Over and over again. And we don't have time to go through all these. But even in chapter 13. Verse 4. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first time. He went back to another altar. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. So over and over again, we see the intimacy that Abram had with God. And not only that, but you see how over and over again, the word came to Abraham. Chapter 15, verse 1, it says, and these things, the word, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And over again, and how he relied on the voice of God. He didn't have the canonized Bible like we have it now. It was being written. But how God, how the relationship that he had with the Lord. And then in verse 4, it says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be. This shall not be thine heir, because he wanted to make Eliezer his heir. But God said, no, but he that shall come forth thy own bowels, he shall be the heir. And then in verse 6, it says, and he believed in the Lord. He took God at his word. And the Bible says it was accounted unto him as righteousness. And guess what? We can go all the way to Hebrews chapter 11. We talk about when he took, when the Bible says he took Isaac up. And he said, me and the lad are going up. And verse 3 of our text. Early in the morning, he saddled his donkey and took his young men with him. And Isaac, his son, clave the wood and the burnt offering. And he rose up and went into the place that God had told them. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place. And Abraham said to the young men, abide ye here with the donkey. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and will come again. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:17, if you can't keep up, just write them down. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. What does that sound like? Only begotten son? It sounds like John 3:16. Of whom it was said then, and Isaac, thy seed shall be called. Right? And accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So guess what, y'all? He didn't know what was going to happen. He believed he was going to be obedient to God. And it says here that in a figurative sense, that Abraham thought that Isaac was going to come back from the dead. Who does that also sound like? Jesus Christ. Amen. And listen, I thank God, because you listen, God didn't give him this test at first. He didn't give him this test a couple weeks after he pulled him out of his father's house. But after he had been on the road a little while, and after he had been walking with God a little while, here comes probably the greatest test in Abraham's life. And that's how God builds faith in us. He builds faith in us. Amen. He builds it up in us. The Bible says in James, right? It says, count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the what? Trying of your faith produces, trying of your faith, the testing of your faith, the trying of your faith, it produces patience. Here, Isaac, the one who they've been waiting for, the promise to come, to be the heir that he promised Abraham. Here he finally comes after turmoil, after test, after test. The first trial, amen, get out of your father's house. Then they went through another trial when there was a famine and he went down to Egypt. He failed that trial because God didn't tell him to go. But then there were other trials that he won. Like the trial when they captured Lot. He won that trial. And y'all know those that have been on in the morning can follow these. Amen. If you can't, that means you maybe need to get on. And the trial to rescue Lot. Hey, he had trials that he passed. And then he had some trials that he failed. Amen. And you notice that his wife, she was the one that said, go take my wife. Go take my handmaiden, Hagar, and go lay with her. And Abraham was probably like, come back by me again. What you mean, sis? Amen. But Abraham remained, oh, listen, he failed. And listen, that shows me Just like we say, I see myself in Peter. Sometimes I see myself in Abraham. That, guess what? He wasn't perfect. But guess what? He had a heart desire. He served a perfect God that he could trust even going through the storm and even going through the test. And I think by now, after all the things that God had brought him through, he got to this point. Here, the promise he was, his greatest love. But we see even greater than his love for his son was his greatest love for God. Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, listen, listen, sometimes, man, when you know that you know that you know, and you can look back over your life, faith must be built up. The Bible says without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. And they that come to him must believe that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. And I can look back over my life through tests that I failed and tests that I passed. But one thing remains the same. How God remained consistent in my life. Amen. That's why even in this text, the Bible, he calls himself Yahweh. Amen. The Almighty One. He's Jehovah Jireh, the one that will provide. He's the one that when you're going through, sometimes you don't know how you're going to make it. But guess what? You've got to put your faith and you've got to put your trust in him. And it's the Lord that's got to grow your faith up. It's him that grows your faith. And guess what? And listen, and I got three ways our faith grows. And if you can't write it down, guess what? Just write it down. We were here a couple weeks ago. Jude chapter 20, right? He says, but ye beloved, Jude 20, amen? Chapter 1, bro. I shouldn't have to tell you what chapter 1. It's only one chapter in Jude. He says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, right? He says, building up yourselves of your most holy faith. God calls your faith holy. It's a holy faith. Guess what? It wasn't faith that you produced, but it's faith that God produced in you. The fruits of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, and faith is produced by the Holy Spirit. And faith is produced, y'all, through our relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. Amen? So when you think about faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, right? The Bible says when Jesus spoke at the tomb of Lazarus, the word went behind the grave. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. That's the power of his word. And even when the dry bones of Ezekiel, he said, how can these dead bones live? Right? He said, speak. And the wind came. And next thing you know, the bones started rattling. And they started coming back together. And it came back by the power of the word of God. And it's the word of God. Listen, if the word spoken by Jesus Christ, who's the very essence, the incarnate word of God, he could speak at the grave of Lazarus. And we know faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Guess what faith does? Faith comes in on the inside of us. When we hear the word of God, love comes in on the inside of us. Not the love that we can get from this world. Not the love that we can get from a carnal love. But the love of Jesus Christ and unconditional love. So when he says, build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So guess what, y'all? It's the word. That's number one. Number two, it's our prayer. We've got to pray to build up faith. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of the what? Righteous availeth much. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Right? Seek the curse, the kingdom of God. And is what? Righteousness. And all these other things will be added. Stop coming to God like an ATM machine. only when you need something. But can you worship him even in the middle of a storm? Amen. Can you pray even when everything on the outside is going wrong? Listen, it's a consistency that we got to have in the word of God. It's a consistency that we got to have on our knees. The Bible says Elijah prayed. He prayed. He prayed that it would not rain over the space of earth for the space of 3 years. Then he prayed again. And the skies opened up. It's the word that has to do it. And can these dead bones live? Can your insecurities and the stuff that you've been through, what somebody thinks about you? Maybe your mama was mean to you. Maybe your father walked out on you. And all these things. Listen, and we talk about it all and over again. Guess what? The word of God has to confront the lie that the enemy has planted in us. It's the word of God that has to deal with those other things in my cup that ain't supposed to be there. It's only the word of God. And so many times, y'all, we walk around angry and upset. And we can blame other people. But guess what? When you meet this love of Jesus Christ, to know that, guess what? When we talk about healing, it's so much not about just physical healing. But we need spiritual healing. Our children need healing. Our daughters need healing. Our sons need healing. They got to know they need this love healing. To know that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the Bible says, by his stripes, you are healed. To know that you're healed from whatever the world has put on you. From whatever the devil has deemed you to be. He's a liar, amen? The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of the mind. Amen? How do we renew our mind? We renew our mind by the word of God. It's the word that we need. David said, the word have I hid in my heart, that I might not what? Sin against thee. And when you know that you've gone through something, you've been through something, somebody's done something, so what? When you see this love, to know that even while we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can look back over your life and see where God has brought you from because of his love. Amen. Listen, I'm sorry, y'all. My voice gets all crazy. Amen. We got crazy on some other things. Amen. But guess what, y'all? I love this word. I love this man, Jesus. And it's the love that compels you, y'all. Too many times people get hung up on what somebody did. And they're never healed from what happened. Jesus has come to heal us. He's the great physician to heal our wounds and all of our diseases. Amen. And I'm telling you, I pray that all of our hearts are broken, just like Abraham's heart was broken to this love of God. And once the daddy's broken to that love, the mama will be broken to that love. Once the mama is broken to that love, the children will be broken to that love. Then you're training them regardless of what you look like, regardless of what you think of yourself. You know that Jesus Christ loves you, to know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, to know that marvelous all thy works, and your soul will know right well that you're anchored and rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Amen. Abraham. There used to be a song. You can't make me doubt him, for I know too much about him. Amen. The Bible says, train up your children in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will what? Not depart. That when their own trials and tests come, guess what? They will know who they are and of whom they are. Amen. Listen, and the Bible says also in John, we talk about the word of God, John 6:63, the spirit gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. And the Bible says Abraham rose up early in the morning, verse 3, text, and he saddled his donkey, and him and Isaac, and they had the wood and the burnt offering, which God had told them. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place far off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here, the donkey, and I and the lad will go up, and we will worship, and we will come again unto you. Because he was a worshiper. He was worshiping from the beginning. He was trusting. And y'all know what? And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father. And he said, my father. And he said, here I am. Here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And somebody might think, well, Abraham went up there with blind faith. No, he didn't. Because when you know Jesus Christ and you're in love with him, the Bible says faith is the what? Substance of what? Things hoped for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. Listen, y'all, the most important thing is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he continues to fill the cup and fill the void. And you have an anchor. He knew that God would bring him through this storm. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And they both went together. And they came to the place which he had told him. And Abraham built an altar there. And the wood in order, and found Isaac his son and laid him on the altar. And the first point that I have is, it's our obedient love that leads you to death and co-crucifixion. Y'all, he died before he got up on that hill. He had to die to himself to do what God had him to do. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, y'all, before Christ went up the next day on the cross, he died before he died. He was buried before he was buried. Amen? And we see that we fight all of our battles in our closet and on our need. And the purpose of our closet is that we might be replaced. That we can die to society. Is right. Death and obedience. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Amen. But to die and obey. I just changed the words in that. Amen. That Jesus Christ died before he died. When he said, let not my will, but thine will be done in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yeah. And guess what, y'all? Sometimes I'm almost done because we got to get into communion. When you die to yourself and God wanted to prove and test his faith. Guess what? Sometimes when you're taking a test and you can't feel your way, the teacher is silent while the test is going on. You know what the teacher said. You know the test you got to take. And sometimes we'll avoid taking the test. And our faith never grows. Abraham's faith grew. And he died to himself. And y'all, there have been some nights where I'm in the word of God. And God will show me something that needs to be done. Or somebody that I need to apologize to. Or a decision that I need to make. And I'm putting my thoughts in it. The second point is, so we're talking about obedient love leads to death and crucifixion, but obedient love must compass how I feel and what I think. Listen to this. The Bible says in chapter 20, and one of the people making the comments in the morning brought this up, right? Can you imagine if Abraham had did what he felt like doing? He wouldn't have been on that hill with his son or that mountain. Thank God that God is the one that even when we're going through, that will meet us in that place and love on us through his word and replace, bring replacement. Genesis 20:11, Abraham said, because I thought. When Abraham a second time went down into Gerar, G-E-R-A-R, and I'm trying to hurry up, that he said, Sarah, tell him you're my sister. Right? And it was a half-truth, but it wasn't God's truth. Because he relied on what he felt. And he relied on what he thought. Amen? And so in chapter 20, Abraham said, because I thought. God didn't call us to think. Surely the fear of God is not in this place. Because he was saying, listen, God ain't in this place. So Sarah, you tell them you're my sister so they won't kill me and take you. But guess what? Who are we to tell God what we think? All God said is trust me. Amen. Trust me and I'll see you through. For they will slay me for my wife's sake. And sometimes, and we think about our feelings. And how God had, don't get me wrong, there are times when God uses our feelings, he uses our emotions. But when it comes to this word of God, our feelings and our emotions must take a back seat. The Bible says, any man come after me, he must first what? Deny himself. Take up his what? Cross. And what? Follow me. Amen? And I thank God because I thought about my feelings. And if your feelings are not being replaced and governed by this word of God, you will be a mess. And guess what? If I relied on my feelings and I only did things according to my feelings, I would never get nothing done. Because sometimes we don't feel like it. Amen. I heard a preacher say not too long ago that successful people do the thing that unsuccessful people don't feel like doing. If we relied on our feelings, guess what? Nothing would get done. We got to tell our feelings to shut up. Amen. And guess what? When we're in that closet and we die, right? And guess what? If we know we got to base somebody, if we know we got to apologize to somebody, right? And we have not supped with God and God has not broken our heart, man, you'll try to pick up that phone. And you'll be like this. Ah. They'll be like, hello? Like, hello? You'll try to apologize, but it ain't genuine. Anybody ever apologize and it wasn't genuine? Anybody ever try to apologize to you? And you'll be like, man, you don't even mean that yourself. But y'all, guess what? In the closet, when we're broken to this love, intimate, God will break our heart. And guess what? You'll get something called the can't help us. That you can't help yourself. Don't get me wrong, it still look a little, still could be a little difficult. But the love of Jesus Christ will propel you to pick up the phone and apologize. And guess what? I've learned long enough when somebody calls and apologizes to me, I just take it. I don't know what you're apologizing for. You don't need to apologize, but I thank you. We can't be concerned about who we're working with. And some people don't like this person and this one don't like about this one. And we got cliques and different things. Y'all, those walls gotta come down. And the walls gotta come down in our hearts. that we're overwhelmed and broken to this love of Jesus Christ? Paul said it best in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says the love of Christ what? Constrains me. That we must judge. That if Christ died for one, guess what, y'all? We are all dead. Guess what? We gotta die. Jesus died before he died. He was buried before he was buried. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but who? Christ now lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When you know that, you know that you are wrapped up, tied up with this love of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, it will break generational curses. Amen. Territorial spirits will come down. People that wasn't speaking to you, guess what? It don't matter. Somebody say, so what? When you know that you've been replaced by this love of Jesus Christ to meet you in that place. Guess what? You can do, guess what? You can do the impossible because you've out of the way and you've been gone. And guess what? Abraham lifted up his eyes and as he went up to slice the ram, right? To slice the neck. For now I know, verse 12, that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there was a ram caught in the thicket by the thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is to say, amen, in the mount, the Lord is see. That means the Lord will provide. And in verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Amen. He obeyed God. And guess what? The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, and also in the verse that we read in Genesis, I believe 15, that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. He obeyed. As we stand to our feet, he obeyed. And guess what, y'all? That obedience doesn't come by you mustering yourself up, by you trying to get yourself together or pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but that obedience comes, amen, when we're consumed by this word of God. Amen. You can't do it. You can't get yourself together. You can't fix yourself up. Paul was compelled by this love. And guess what? Abraham was compelled by this love, because over the years, God built up his faith and trust and dependency in him. When they say, you can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. Down through the years, God has been good to me. Even through danger seen and unseen, through tests in my life, through doctor's reports, through job conditions, through home conditions, through family conditions, through the streets and everything that we can go through in the world. Even when we were yet without strength, the Bible says in due time, Christ died. It's his love. And it's a relationship that we have with him in his word. And that's an obedient love. And if you don't know this love, we invite you to come and give your life to Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, guess what, y'all? You can get to know him. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're burning through. But I'm telling you what I know. That through countless storms and tests, I could talk about what I've been through and how God showed up for me when I didn't know how I was going to make it. I'm telling you, this love lifted me up when nothing else would help. His love lifted me. When I was sinking deep within, far from a peaceful shore, I've got enough years and experience for myself to know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He won't never leave you. I'm telling you what I know. Can't nobody do you like this word. And if there's somebody here and you don't know this love of Jesus Christ and you want to give your heart to Christ, you can come right now and accept him into your heart. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Amen. Is there somebody here and maybe you're not living where you ought to be and you want to rededicate your life back to Jesus? I know the service went long, but you can also come and rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Is there one? As the choir sings, is there one? Amen. Is there one? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and of heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's relationship. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your weary soul. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Is there one? As the choir sings.